All right. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Just thank you, Lord, for today and for your word, which is just inseparable from you, Lord. And we just thank you for your blessings you've given us. And just for today that we can hear from you, Lord, and just receive from you and keep receiving from you throughout the week. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to talk about, today we're going to talk about prayer. Okay, so let's start off with what is prayer? Okay, I mean, we all have an idea about what that is. But prayer is communion with God. It's fellowship with God. It's worshiping and thanking God. Now, there's a component of asking and receiving from God, but primarily, prayer is our connection with God. It's our way of getting intimate with the Lord, okay? God wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to get to know you. He wants you to know him, okay? He really wants to connect with you. That's really important because when you go into prayer, you have to know that that's the truth. That's the way God sees things, all right? So, and remember, regardless of how you feel about yourself or how you feel about other people, God wants to connect intimately with you. And if you think about that, it changes how you perceive yourself and the people around you, that God wants to connect with us individually. We do things in a congregation to receive from him, but as a one-to-one, God wants to connect with you. All right, so you may ask yourself, okay, so does he really want to connect with me? Me, just me? Well, he does. And, this is a sort of an image. You know, God doesn't want to just create a bunch of Christians and put them on a shelf in heaven and ignore them, okay? Indifference. He really does want to connect. And this next is the first scripture, actually. If we can get this to work here, I hope. On. Oh, are you having trouble hearing? Okay. All right. Our acoustics still good here? All right. So we're going to go to the book of Zephaniah. And you might say, is that in the Bible? Yeah. So Zephaniah is in the Bible. He's a minor prophet. He was a Judean prophet, a descendant of, I think, great-grandson, or anyway, a descendant anyway of King Hezekiah, okay? And his prophetic ministry took place during the reign of Josiah, who was actually one of the rare, well, maybe not rare, but there was a lot of bad kings in Judea and Israel, but Josiah was one of the good ones. So it's around circa 638 to 621 BC that Zephaniah had his prophetic ministry. And this scripture really tells you about the heart of God. Now, I'm trying to convince you, if you're not already convinced, that God wants to fellowship with you. So this scripture, I think, captures... Oh, we're already there. Oh, no, we jumped ahead. I was messing with this thing. Okay, here it is. So, Zephaniah, the Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Boy, if that's not a picture of a God that wants to get intimate and be involved with you, that's not an indifferent God. That's a God that wants to connect. What a beautiful scripture. I found that one actually when I was doing a sort of a Bible hunt for scriptures for anybody that had, I guess, feelings of condemnation and lack of connection with God. And that's one of the scriptures I found. Because I don't go to Zephaniah that often, to be honest with you. Okay, so, praise the Lord. Okay, so now, that was maybe a rare scripture, maybe not one that is in your arsenal too frequently. This next one is really special. I mean, this next scripture, you all know it. It's probably the most memorized scripture in the Bible for Christians, and that's John 3:16. Let's see if I can go ahead here. There we go. Everybody knows this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, I've emphasized some words here, so have a look at that one and think about that for a bit. And we'll go to just a little bit later in John 3. This is 17. Oh, sorry, it's not in John 3, it's 17. And this is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So, John 3:16, we know that everlasting life is what God purchased for us through Christ. And here we're getting a definition of what everlasting life or eternal life is. By the way, those words, eternal life, everlasting life, in the Greek, it's just the two words flipped around. It's life everlasting, and then one verse, it's the other verse, it's everlasting life. Life everlasting life, same thing, okay? So what is that telling us now? That everlasting life is knowing God, okay? That they may know you. You may have thought, everlasting life, I thought that was something that started when I died and went to heaven. Well, that's not true. Everlasting life starts now. And that's really, I think it's pretty clear from those two scriptures together. So, okay, so if we have to know God, if that's what everlasting life is, well, we better get on that. How do you get to know somebody? Well, think of how you get to know people on this earth, like human, like God is a person, right? You're getting to know people. How do you do that? You spend time with them. You ask them questions. You listen to things that they tell you. You tell them about yourself. You pour your heart out to them. You allow yourself to be vulnerable, okay? What does that mean, vulnerable? Well, it really means that you're sharing stuff about yourself that you just wouldn't share with anybody, okay? So that's a process of getting to know somebody in a human sense, but also with God. And as a relationship with a person progresses, you become more comfortable. There's no such thing as uncomfortable silences. Okay, you don't feel a need to talk all the time. You can just enjoy their presence, and that's what God wants to do. We might think that prayer means us talking all the time, but that's not true. Okay, you can receive from God just by being in his presence, by focusing on him. You're not saying anything. You're just listening. And it's informal, it's natural, and unforced. Okay. Now next. Okay, you might be wondering, okay, when are you going to get to that part about me asking God for something and him giving it to me, hopefully, okay? Well, and you might think, that's what prayer is really all about, right? Well, no, that's really not what it's about. That's a part of it, but that's not the most important part about prayer. You know, just petitioning God for stuff, that's not, I mean, Jesus spent whole nights with the Lord. Do you think he was like asking for stuff all the time? I think he was receiving from God. He was in a communion with God. He was in fellowship with God. It wasn't this one big long to-do list for God while he spent a whole night with him, for sure. I just can't imagine that. So your prayer and fellowship with God, your prayer time with God should not be what we call a transactional relationship, okay? Now, you might say, well, what does that mean? Well, I found it on a website. I think this is quite good. And it says, transactional relationships are built on the expectation for reciprocation. Both individuals are concerned with how they will benefit. Individuals are self-serving, making sure they get as much as they can from the relationship for a set amount of work. Well, that's the furthest thing from how God treats us, thank goodness, all right? God does not want a transactional relationship with us. He doesn't want it to just be, Lord, I need this, and then, you know, hopefully I get it. If I don't get it, well, then I'm disgruntled or whatever. But God really wants a connection with you. And when you do have a connection with God, things do flow. You receive in a different way. And that's that leads to the next sort of thought I want to plant in your heads, and that is, effortless receiving, okay? Just think about that, effortless receiving. What does that mean? Well, we're going to go to Psalm 37. There it is, 4 and 5. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I mean, that's actually a beautiful song. We've been singing that song at Mount Zion since, I mean, I think it goes back to Maurizio's basement on off of Blair Road. I think he was on Blair Road or off Blair Road. We were singing that song 40 years ago. It's a long time ago. And, you know, I started meditating on this scripture just a couple weeks ago, Yes, I've been preparing that long for this and longer. I started meditating on that scripture, and it really touched me in a way that, I mean, I couldn't describe. I knew something was going on. I was listening to that, looking at that scripture, and I mean, I'd been spending maybe an hour with the Lord before that, but I started looking at that scripture, and it just touched me in a way that I was having trouble. I was thinking to myself, how do I describe this? Oh no, don't think about this. You're going to ruin it. Just receive it. And it was beautiful. Okay. So what is it? What is it saying here? There's not a request in there for anything from God. It's just this connection with God, delighting in God, and receiving from God in a most beautiful way. So I emphasize the part that there's no request in there. That's the fellowship with God I'm talking about. All right. So, oh yeah, another scripture along the same lines of receiving from God is in Matthew 26 and 26. There we are. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now, that's a question from Jesus. I think it's a rhetorical question, but, you know, are you not more valuable than they? I thought about this, you know, I thought maybe I should do just privately a Bible study on all the questions that Jesus asked, because he asked some really good questions. And it's rarely, if maybe never, is it a question where he doesn't know the answer. So he's trying to tell you something when he asks you a question. When he asked the disciples, I think this was actually to the masses. This wasn't an inner circle discussion that Lord was having. He was talking to a whole bunch of people that had come to see him. So he's really saying, are you not more valuable than they? And this is where I wanted you to really think about how valuable you are and really get your head around that, how valuable you are as a person to God. And when you take that into your time with him, your prayer time with him, it will change how you receive and how you perceive yourself and how you perceive God. All right, along the same lines, now this is in the same chapter, just a little bit later, Matthew 6 and 31 and 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's what I'm calling effortless receiving. You seek a connection with God, okay, and you will receive more than you can imagine, things you couldn't even imagine, things you didn't need, you know you needed. God's saying, don't worry about, you know, these scriptures, don't worry about everything. I'm taking care of you, okay? And if we can connect with that thought, a lot of worry and anxiety will just leave us, just very naturally. All right, so connecting with God. So how do we do that? How do we get to that place with God? Well, there's some things that we're going to need to do. All right. Now, it's important to think that God's not holding back stuff from us, saying, here's some arbitrary criteria and you have to meet these and then maybe I'll give to you. He gives generously, okay? He's not anything he wants us to do to be able to receive is something we need to do. We need to line ourselves up with the truth. We need to get the truth into our heart. But God's not stingy and he's not holding back on you. Just get rid of that thought, because there's a ton of scriptures we could go through to really emphasize that point. So effortless receiving, we talked a little about that. Oh yeah, also the thing about God cannot be manipulated, okay? And neither can we manipulate God. He's not manipulating us to get us to do things, and we can't get him to do anything that's outside of his will. But there's so much that he's given us, you know. It's already been done. It's in the past tense. We're going to see some scriptures that talk about what the Lord has done for us in the past tense, already delivered. Okay, so you're not changing God's mind about anything. You're just getting yourself in a position where you can receive. All right. Okay, so we're going to do just recapping a little bit here. This is our first of a one or two mini reviews here. So prayer is not primarily asking God for things, but rather an intimate connection with God, a communion with God, fellowship with Him, and knowing Him. God wants an intimate relationship with you. And then we covered eternal life is what? It's to know God and Jesus, not something that happens in the future, something that starts right now. And if we're connected with Him and in a close relationship with Him, receiving becomes effortless. All right. Okay, now going on to the dialogue that we may have with God. Excuse me for a second. Okay. So we do tell God things. We talk to Him in prayer. And, you know, when we tell Him things, it's not really for His benefit. It's mostly for us getting it out, expressing ourselves, even finding out what's going on in our own head. Before you even open your mouth, God knows what you're going to say, right? So does that mean we don't do it? I certainly do it. I pour my heart out to God. I tell Him all kinds of stuff. But what I do at the same time is I listen to what I'm saying, because usually the answer comes, well, I shouldn't say usually, often the answer can come very quickly. Like while I'm saying it or whatever I am saying to God, I could be talking about a difficult situation at work, maybe a conflict within the family or something. And I get answers often right away while I'm even speaking them. So is God answering or am I just figuring, I don't really care. God's involved with this process and I'm getting something out of it. So praise the Lord. So pour your heart out to Him. But the important thing is that you listen, okay? I think it's maybe not here, because I know Maurizio started to talk about it a lot. That's making sure you listen. We really do have to listen to God. We have to find that quiet space where we can have Him talk to us, okay? That's that part about when you're comfortable with somebody, you don't have to be talking all the time. I mean, you know, I can hear myself talk. I mean, that's not necessarily going to do it for me. I start that off, get the ball rolling, but then listen. He's talking all the time to us. If the Holy Spirit's really talking to us all the time, we better be listening, okay? So listen. All right. Now, that's the dialogue part and talking to God and making sure we listen. Now we're going to talk a little bit about praising God. Okay, and I like to say this is super important to incorporate praise into your time with God throughout your day. This is really, really important. I'm laughing at super because my youngest granddaughter, Camilla, she uses super all the time. Everything is super. We had super fun, Pappy, and I ran super fast at the park. So whenever I use the word super, I laugh at myself because I go, I'm starting to sound like my granddaughter here. But anyway, praising God is super important. Remember that, okay? And if you haven't already developed this part of your fellowship with God, I recommend you do it. And like I start the day off, and this is a great way to start the day off, is I start praising God for all the wonderful things He's done in my life. And I've got a long list. I'm sure you do too. I've got a long list. I can go on for quite a ways. Thanking God for, oh, Lord, thank you for my wonderful wife, my kids, my grandkids, the house that I live in, the beautiful church I have with all the wonderful people, our pastor and Lillian. I mean, I just have a lot of things to praise God for. I've got a great job. I have good people to work with. I don't have to go. I mean, I feel so blessed. And, you know, you may have some difficult times in your life, but there's things that God has done in your life, and you know it, and you just have to remind yourself, okay, frequently about those things, because that puts you in a different space of receiving, okay? So do it. It's simple. It's so easy. Just praise God, okay? It's a wonderful way to start your day. It's a wonderful way to start, yeah, like a time if you're spending like a half an hour with God or whatever you've got, 15 minutes. Just start yourself out by praising Him for all the things in your life that you're really grateful for, okay? Because that actually, you know, the song was, you know, I don't want to be outdone by the rocks and stones, right? I mean, that's pretty bad. Like, yeah, a rock and a stone did a better job praising God than you did. Okay, so let's do that. Okay, that's important. Oh yeah, we're going to look now at Paul's letters on the theme of praising and thanking God, and it's really interesting, you know, how often he starts out his letters by thanking God. Like so often, let's go to Ephesians 1, 15 through 16. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay, so he's thanking God for this congregation, the Ephesians, that he's addressing in this letter. So there you go, Paul thanking God. I thank God, this is Timothy, who is a leader in the church, very close to Paul. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. There's that thanks again. And Philippians 1, 3 through 6, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just Paul's letters are filled with thanks. He goes from thanking to praising to reminding. It's all intertwined, and it comes back to a big content of praise and thanks in his letters. So the whole idea about praising and starting out with praise and thanksgiving for God and connecting with Him is that it puts yourself in the right mindset, the right attitude to be able to receive from. And it's actually the fastest way I find to get blessed, even in the middle of the day. If you're feeling a little, for whatever reason, down or something, I mean, start remembering those things that God has done for you, and it's the quickest way to feel the blessings of God on you, just reminding yourself of the wonderful things that God has done. So do it. It works. Oh, yeah. I want to talk about this little, it's a little, what do you call it, an analogy or whatever, but it's called the prayer sandwich, okay? And it's, so you start off with praise. That's the top piece of bread. You can put your petitions and requests in the middle, and then the bottom part is another piece of bread, and that's praise and thanks. So praise Him at the beginning and praise Him at the end, and do the other stuff in between. It's a great way to incorporate praise into your prayer time and fellowship with God. Okay, second mini review here. Just going back over the stuff we just covered, prayer involves a dialogue with God. Pour your heart out. Tell Him what's on your mind, but don't forget to listen. Yes, you were listening. Good. And praise is super important. That's the other thing you have to remember. Okay. All right. So now we're going to talk about, next thing is we're going to talk about the importance of the Word. So why is the Word important? Well, knowing God means knowing the Word. We know that eternal life means knowing God from those scriptures we looked up. But how do we, apart from God, how do we know God apart from His Word? And the answer to that question is we don't. Okay, I've seen people, mostly non-Christians, but actually sometimes Christians, who are trying to figure out God. And I'm thinking, well, they spend more time trying to figure God out and not very much time actually looking at what the Word says about things. And the questions they grapple with are questions that are really obvious and answered very easily in the Word. So if you want to know God, you have to know the Word. You have to have a real relationship with the Word. And you may say, well, how do you have a relationship with a book? And I agree with you. You cannot have a relationship with a book. And the thing is, that book, we know that without the Holy Spirit, that book is pretty dead, okay? That's maybe harsh words against the Bible, but it's true. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't see what's in the Word, okay? I mean, people throughout the ages, I'll say a lot smarter than me, have gone cover to cover on the Bible and analyzed it, and they have got nothing, okay? Now, how could that be? Well, it's because the Word is made alive by the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, when you got born again, you might have had, this is speaking of the Word, okay? You might have had a very I guess, limited understanding, okay? Like you probably, in some cases, I've heard different people's testimonies, and they've talked about how when they came to the Lord, all they knew was that there was a God out there for sure, and that they called out to him. They knew somehow that he was going to help them, okay? And that he was the answer. They tried everything else. Who knows what that was? They tried everything else, and it didn't work. So, and they called out to him, and in some cases, maybe there wasn't an instantaneous change. It may have happened a couple years later. I'm thinking of one person in particular that related their story to me. And this person was involved with sports in the university. And there was an organization, I don't think they're still around, but it's called Athletes in Action, or it was. And they were a Christian group that would try to minister to, you know, university level, elite level athletes. And this lady I'm talking about, she got exposed to them through the sports she was involved with. And what they told her, and the only thing that stuck in her head was, you just have to ask Jesus into your heart. Okay, so that's what she did. She went home that night, and she kneeled down next to her bed before she went to sleep, and she asked God, I know you exist, and I know you want to help me, and I need you. I ask you into my heart. She said she woke up the next day, and she goes, I didn't feel anything different. So she didn't, but it was a few years later that she actually got connected in with a good group and, you know, developed her relationship with God, became born again. But, you know, that experience was really her experience with the Word. You can say, well, she didn't know that was in the Bible. It doesn't matter. God's Word is not just in a book, okay? God's speaking that. God, we've heard this here. God's talking to everybody, saved and unsaved, okay? He's talking all the time, okay? And what he speaks is his Word, and it lines up with his Word. And if you hear anything that doesn't line up with the Word, it's not God, okay? Be sure of that. All right. Yeah, I did mention a little bit about people trying to figure out God with their head. You know, the answer is the Bible, the Word of God, is like a deep, deep well, and you do have to work to draw that water out, okay? But it's full, okay? There is plenty there. And our connection with the Word is absolutely important to our connection with God. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures to further emphasize that point. And this, I love this scripture, like this one. I find it so, I don't know. I've always loved this scripture. In the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this really tells us God and his Word are inseparable, okay? And further down on the same chapter, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. That's Jesus, okay? So the Word is God. The Word is Jesus. Jesus came down here, the Word made flesh. So inseparable are God from his Word, okay? I think that's pretty evident from those scriptures. Okay, so, yeah, so we talked about, you know, how some people, and maybe perhaps you have come to God initially with not a whole lot of Bible knowledge, very little, just knowing that God is someone you can reach out to and actually cares about you. And that truth alone was your first contact with the reality of the Word. But now, there's a progression that has to take place, okay? We have to find out more about God through the Word to be able to be in a place where we can receive from him. We have to know the way he thinks, the things he values, okay? The laws that he's established, because he's established principles, spiritual laws that we have to adhere to. Just like you can't, you know, violate the law of gravity, you can't violate the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus without some consequences, some lack of receiving, okay? So without the Holy Spirit, we're not going to get anywhere, but we have to receive those things. There's a progression in our relationship where we understand more about God, and it's really, really important. We can't stay, and I guess what I really want to do is convince you that just coming here on Sunday, and even like attending the Thursday night Zoom meetings, which I really encourage everybody to do because they're wonderful, but you will not progress just by doing those things. Those are good. It's good to come to church. It's good to participate in the Zoom meeting on Thursday nights, but you have to have your own time. You have to get your own revelation from God about the Word, okay? You can't just get some, these meetings are to offer you encouragement, instruction, help, a lot of other things, but you've got to go spend your own time, you know, drawing out that water, okay, from the well, because, you know, we leak, really. Like, if you can't go even a day, like, I don't know about you, just personally, I know from experience, I can have a great time in the morning with the Lord, and if I don't renew my connection with Him throughout the day, through little things that I can do, little strategies you can have, whether they be little cards you keep with scriptures around your office or post them on the fridge or whatever it is in the laundry room, you know, if you don't renew that connection you have with the Lord throughout the day, by the end you won't even know where the promises are. You'll be thinking so many other things. It gets into a whole other topic about what we expose ourselves to, what we're looking at all the time. But you do have to get into the Word yourself, and you have to renew what you know about the Lord every... Oops, it's time to plug in the coffee. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's see. Okay, we're going to talk about fancy words. What do I mean by fancy words? Well, our words don't impress God, okay? It's really the attitude in our heart that counts with God, okay? It's always the heart that counts when it comes to God. So eloquent prayers, whether they be up here or, you know, prayers that you make to God, things you talk, don't worry about how you sound, okay? That's nothing. That doesn't mean anything, all right? It's really the position of your heart. That's what counts. And I want to go look at a scripture that you will know. This is 1 Samuel. There we are. Okay. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not, this context here. This is when Samuel went to go, this is the selection of the new king of Israel. Okay. Saul was the, I'm not sure if Saul was, disposed of at this point or whatever, but David was going to become the new king, and this is the process by which prophet Samuel went to go and select one of the sons of Jesse to be king of Israel. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Okay? So absolutely important that you keep that in mind. If you're asked to pray over the offering or closing a meeting, opening a meeting, whatever, don't worry about your words, okay? When I listen in agreement with someone that's praying, that's been asked to pray over the offering or whatever, I try to listen to their heart because I know that's what God is doing. Listen to their heart. Don't worry about your words. It's the least important thing. It isn't important. All right. So, does God really want us to receive? We've heard it before. He wants to give to us and have us receive more than we actually want to receive. I mean, can you actually, that's a hard thing for some people to believe, I think. I think that's a big thing. How is that even possible? I need this. I got a healing I need, and how could anybody want this more than me? Well, God wants you to have it more than you actually want to have it. So I will try to prove this to you. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Well, exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. So you can't even think about it beyond what he's able to do and wants to do is beyond what you can even imagine. I mean, that is It says it right there. But you know, you might have gotten hung up. I didn't highlight it, but you might have got hung up on that word able. Oh yeah, he's able. But will he do it? Okay? Is he willing? Okay? Now, I did highlight also the power that works in us. Okay? So there is a part we have to play. Okay? This isn't going to happen without our participation. So we have a part to play. The power that works in us. It's already in us, okay? But we got to work it, okay? And then it's like the limits are all off, exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. That's an amazing scripture. And I think, I think we've talked about that before, about the importance of meditating on that that whole prayer at the beginning of Ephesians. It's really an awesome example. Okay, so make sure you don't complain to God, okay, as if he's your problem. I mean, you may have, pouring out your heart involves all kinds of things, whatever, but God is not your problem, okay? He wants to do it for you more than you want it. So let's get lined up with that and receive. All right. So we talked about Abel. Okay, is God, I know he's able, but is he willing? Well, let's have a look at, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 8, and this is where there's a leper that comes to Jesus asking the Lord for help. And let's go here. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. So, you're not any different from that leper, okay? We know that God is not a respecter of persons, which translation is, he doesn't treat us one way and someone else a different way. We're all equal. You're not any less valuable to the Lord than that leper was, and God was willing there. And this is not just one scripture. There's a ton of scriptures that'll, just emphasize the point that God is willing. He is absolutely willing. Okay, praise the Lord. That's a wonderful scripture. I am willing. Just say that to yourself. The Lord says, I am willing. He is willing. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the other scripture that comes to mind, I don't have the reference here, but it's that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, okay? So this is not, these things didn't expire, okay? They are still valid, okay? Next scripture. Yeah, this is also good. This is along the same lines, Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. Well, that doesn't leave out much. Praise the Lord. Okay. Yes, this one. Now, I actually have it here in Young's literal translation, which is also good. But the eyes of your understanding, also in Ephesians, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Now, Young's literal translation says, exceeding greatness of his power to us who are believing. Okay? It's a nice sort of variation there and really, just gives you a different, slightly different slant on the same truth. So, inheritance. How does an inheritance work? You know, when someone creates a will, then there's an inheritance after they pass away. Okay, so someone has to die for an inheritance to come into effect. And as far as I know, nobody's earning an inheritance, right? It's in the will and you get it. And that's just the way it works. Okay. So you don't have to earn your inheritance. Now from God, we have an inheritance. Okay. And it's what? It's exceeding greatness of his power has been willed to us who are believing. That's awesome. So just think of it. Fill in your name here. God's writing his will, and he says to him, my dear daughter, so-and-so, fill in your name, son, so-and-so, I leave you, let's see, when am I going to leave him? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, the exceeding greatness of my power, all things needed for life and godliness. Wow, like, that's quite the inheritance. So if that hasn't fixed your attitude, I don't know. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the atonement was complete. Okay, when Jesus said, it is finished, I mean, that has taken on a new meaning to me. It's not just his life that's finished. He did the work. Okay, the promises have been delivered to us. They are for us to act on and to exercise our faith to receive. We don't have to ask God for much. He's already willed it all to us, okay? I'll bring this analogy up. I heard this one time about I was saving this, but I'll share it with you. I heard this phrase, and it was called storming the gates of heaven. And I thought, what on earth is that about? And I decided I would do a Google search, and there's actually a book on Amazon called Storming the Gates of Heaven. And I thought, what in the world is that about? Storming the gates of heaven? As if God is up there stingy, holding back, and we have to plan a raid on heaven. I mean, I didn't, maybe there is something good in that book, but I have no interest in looking at it, okay? I mean, storming the gates of heaven to get God to do stuff for me, to get what I deserve. Well, you don't, well, yeah, a whole different subject. But it's almost like, would you rob a bank to go get the money that you've deposited there or that's been deposited there for you? You wouldn't do that. So anyway, I had mentioned that about that storming the gates of heaven. But anyway, praise the Lord. Third mini review here. And actually, this is, we're wrapping up here. It's a good thing the coffee was plugged in. So the atonement's complete. Sacrifice from Jesus covered it all. Okay, so the word is how, so that was actually something else. The review is, the word of God is how we know God. Okay, obviously the Holy Spirit revelation is necessary, but that's how you're going to know God. You need to spend time in the word, your own time in the word, not just listening to sermons or listening to men of God talk about it, women of God talking about the Lord. You need to get your own revelation for it to really be yours. And it's a wonderful thing. When you do that, I mean, it changes you. You won't even remember what you were like the day before, okay? And it doesn't have to be a one-time experience. It's beautiful, okay? So look, seek that. Seek knowing God in the Word. To know God and have fellowship with God, you need to be in the Word. And the Holy Spirit that lives inside you is the one that's going to reveal that Word to you. And the question is not, will God do it, whatever it is that we need, but will you receive it? Because we know God is willing. Okay, now next week we are going to talk about some practical things. I'm going to talk about long prayers, short prayers. You have to hang about to see what that's all about. And things that hinder. I got a big section on things that hinder us from receiving God. And we'll get into those. I think that's going to be interesting. I think you'll find that helpful. And just some general strategies for our relationship with God, our connection with God. Okay. All right. So that's it. So thank you. And praise the Lord. Just want to thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for just your wonderful word for us, Lord. How we learn to more about you, Lord, how we learn to connect with you is through the word. And we praise you just for your Holy Spirit that reveals all things to us. And just for everybody leaving today, Lord, I pray, I know that they're taking the Holy Spirit with them because you said that you'll never leave us or forsake us. So we thank you for that, Lord. And we look forward to being back here again next Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.